You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Turn to somebody and say, make room. Just put your hands on your heart today and say, Holy Spirit, I make room for you. I think it's important whenever we welcome God into whatever we're doing, the situation immediately improves. Amen? And we want to make room for him. And when we make room, there's no telling what God will do. We've been on this journey to focus our attention on God. And the series we've been having is called Undivided. And the prayer that we've been praying is out of Psalm 86:11 that says, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I believe David had something that was critical for us to understand, and we want to enter into that prayer. We want to enter into that thought process that says, God, give me an undivided heart. We want to refocus, reset, and see how we can get back to this singularity of focus of our heart. Today, I want to talk about passion. And a lot of times, as Christians, we can run out of steam in our walk. And then all of a sudden, we kind of seem like we're operating on fumes with trying to do the will of God, trying to be obedient to the word. But it's just like we're missing some of that unction. And so it can change the dynamics of our relationship with God when the passion is lacking. So passion, as we know, is the fuel for any relationship. You know, if you lose the passion, then it changes the very dynamic of that relationship. And it's no different with God. So the title of the message that I want to talk to you about today is, where is the passion? Say it with me one time. Where is the passion? Where is the passion? And I like a lot of times to look at David, and a lot of times in the church, we take some great cues from David on worship and on matters of the heart. And but David was a man that was full of passion. He's a passionate man. And most of the time, that passion was focused on God. And I say it that way because it's important to know that nobody, we all come to moments in our life where we have to refocus ourselves. Because for whatever reason or another, some of our passion kind of got off track. We've got to get back and refocus our passion. And so this is something that we see a lot in David's life. And I think it's important to say because sometimes we look at some of these characters in the Bible and we say, oh, well, they always had it wrong, right, or they were always had their passion for God. There's no way that you can tell me that David had his passion for God all of the time. There were some times that he had to refocus his passion on the Lord. And so I think whether you are somebody that is just getting started in your walk with God or somebody that's established in your walk with God, it's something that we all have to take a look at. Is there some areas that I need to refocus back on God in this season of my life? And so today I want to start here in Psalm 84, if you'll go there in your Bible. Psalm 84, because David, he has this beautiful psalm that he writes, and many people believe that that he was on the run from Absalom at this point, and he was at a place where he wasn't sure if he was going to see the house of God again. He didn't know if he would just be on the run for the rest of his life or if he would get killed, and so this song was birthed out of that. He said, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Could you see David humiliated, leaving the palace, leaving his throne because his own son had caused an insurrection in the nation, and now he had to take a run for his life? And the greatest concern for him is not even the concern for his life. The concern that David has is that he would ever get to see the house of God again in Jerusalem. Because David was a tenacious warrior. He was a celebrated king, but he was always a worshiper first. And the house of God held a special place in his heart. I love David's passion here. He couldn't wait to get to church. Amen. And when I look at many churches in America, I think we lack that. You know, many Christians have such a casual attitude about their relationship with God, and it shows in different areas. And there's a difference between that type of sometimes American perspective on church and on God than the perspective that David had, or a biblical perspective on God. Another translation of Psalm 84:2, David says, "I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord." If you hear the passion in that statement, David doesn't cross me as a guy that misses a lot of church. He got a sore throat and he couldn't show up to church. He was right there. He wanted to be right there in the middle of whatever God was doing. He wasn't a part of the official ministry team, but he put the band together. He was always finding his way to write a song that they could sing, or make sure that there were plenty of worshipers in the house of God. David's job wasn't to play music before the Lord or to put together bands for the church, but that was his passion. That was his heart. One of the first things my dad taught me about ministry was you have to have passion. You have to have passion. He'd tell me it doesn't matter if you get everything right. If your heart's not in the right place and you don't have passion, it doesn't mean anything. You have to have passion. I believe that God is always looking at the heart, and David's heart was full of passion. And our heart has to be full of passion if we want to please God, if we want to go to the places that God wants to take us. In America, you know, we have this mentality: if someone gets a headache, they stay home, or, you know, sore throat, or it's raining, you know, I can't get wet. I'm the Wicked Witch of the West, you know. I don't know what happens. The rain, it's magical. But, you know, when I think of other places that even I've traveled, or my family has traveled, and people are walking hours to get to church. Other places, I can remember when my dad first went over into the mission field into Russia after they just started to allow them legally to preach the word of God. And those people were so hungry that they would just, from 6 a.m. to, you know, 6 p.m, they just sit there and intensely listen to the word of God because they had such a hunger, such a passion. And I think that's something that the American church has to get back, because I believe passion brings us closer to God. The book of James 4:8 says, "Come close to God and God will come close to you." See, I think a lot of times what limits us in our relationship with God is we're not taking the next step, because when we take that next step, book of James says he takes a step towards us. We take a step and then he takes a step. And so a lot of times God is really waiting on us to take those next couple steps for our relationship with him to grow. Come close to me, come close to God, and God will come close to you. You know, I think about all the reasons that sometimes we, you know, we can't serve in ministry or we can't show up on Sunday. When I was sick, I don't know, maybe I'm old school, but my mom told me, "You get healed in the house of God." Amen. Bring that sick self on to church. And I kind of carried that mentality with me right up into, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been sick playing the piano or got congestion, or a few months back, I preached with no voice. You probably heard it in my voice. But it's that type of tenacity I believe that God is looking for. It's a passion. If you want to follow God, you have to be ready for distractions. Just write that really big on your paper today. If you want to follow God, you've got to be ready for distractions. Look at somebody, say, "Get ready for distractions." Because just when God starts to do something in your life, the devil is going to act up. Just when God starts to do something, just when God makes an opportunity available, just when doors start to open up, there's going to be distractions that happen. And so be ready. The enemy will send every type of distraction to see which one can grab your attention and take you off track. Be honest with yourself for a second and think about what is, if there were something that could distract me, what would it be? You know, close your eyes, visualize, what would it be that if there were something that could distract me from what God is doing in my life right now, what would that be? Now open your eyes. One strategy that we take is to know what thing can distract us and begin to pray into that and begin to prepare our hearts. Because distractions will come. It's just a part of the spiritual walk. So if we begin to prepare ourselves and begin to pray, distractions will come when you try to live for Jesus. Distractions will come when you're trying to do the work of ministry. Right? Just when you're like, hey, Sister Francesca, I need you to serve over here in this area. Guess what's going to happen to you right that next Sunday? Flat tire, you know, something, right? I can remember the time I was a young youth minister and I was going to youth service. Come out of my driveway, somebody hits my car. On the way to church. I'm not on the way to the club. There could have been other things that I could have been doing, right? Could have been, you know. But no, I was a young man going to the house of God and distraction. Distraction. I can tell you about the time, early days of Hope. We showed up early on Sunday morning. We were going to do a radio show. And we were recording. And something happened with a feedback loop and blew all the house speakers. Before we were going to have 2-3 services on Sunday morning. Distractions. Look at somebody and say distractions. You got to be ready for distractions because distractions are going to come. You know, does a distraction make you want to just kind of give up and walk away? Or a distraction say, man, it's too much of a hassle right now. I'll come back and revisit this later. Or do you have a tenacious type of passion for God that you, when you see a distraction, you get excited? I tell you, and Dominic has worked with me for a long time. When I come in and something is like wrong, I start getting excited. I say, man, the Spirit of God is going to move today. Because the devil's trying to mess with stuff. Keyboard's not working right or whatever. I'm like, yes, this is going to be a good day. Because I know if there's a distraction there, it's for a reason. Because he's trying to prevent me from what's about to happen. Distractions. Yeah. So you have to decide when you're going to serve the Lord, you know, no matter what distraction comes, you know, I'm going to be focused. Decide what you're going to do and have passion. You know, the Bible says, find what you have to do with your hands and do it with all your might. You know, don't stop because of distraction. Don't stop because of circumstances. Decide in your heart and do it with passion. When you've been married for a little while, anybody been married for a little while? When you've been married for a little while, when I say a little while, I mean you've been married for a few years. Sometimes you have these moments that you need to fall in love all over again. Because it's easy to kind of drift into like a casual, business as usual type of routine. But it's important that you rediscover, you know, because you can wake up one day and you got no fire, you got no passion, you got no unction in your relationship, and you have to rediscover, right, why you fell in love in the first place. And you have to get your heart back focused. As believers, we have to do the same thing with God. There comes times when our hearts kind of drift and we have to rediscover why we fell in love with God in the first place. Why is it that we fell in love with Jesus in the first place and bring our hearts back into focus? When I begin to remember what Jesus did for me on the cross, when I remember the difficult things that I've gone through and I've walked through in my life, and I remember how Jesus stepped in and saved me and redeemed me and bailed me out and brought solution into my life and brought life, I fall in love with Jesus all over again. And things like that helps us bring our passion and our focus back on him. Look at somebody and say, fall in love all over again. is it happens. It even happens with our relationship with God. First, you start off so in love. You just got saved. Just came down to the altar. Both hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Then a few years later, the new wore off, right? And it's just kind of, you're going through the motions. You're there on Sunday, but are you there? You know, maybe you're even serving in ministry, but is it more of just kind of a routine? You know, I want to catch myself. I don't want Jesus to catch me. You know, in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the church of Ephesus, and he says this, Revelation 2:4. He says, I have this one thing against you. You do not love me as you did at first. Can you imagine? There are times and moments in our life we got to check ourselves. Because if we don't check ourselves, Jesus could one day say, I hold this one thing against you. You're doing good in these other areas, but I hold this one thing against you. New Living Translation says, but I have this complaint against you. Find what it is that made you fall in love with Jesus and rediscover. Give him your heart all over again. Some Christians are just lukewarm. I don't know about you, but I hate a lukewarm bathtub, you know. You put the hot water in and then you take a couple of calls and you're doing a couple of things. And then by the time you get back to the bathtub, it's completely lukewarm. It's not awesome. It's not relaxing. It's just there. It's like the tiny soap, you know, when you get down to the tiny soap and you're in the shower and you got nobody to bail you out. You just got the little tiny. You're just trying to make do with a little. The point is lukewarm bath, okay? Lukewarm bath. Jesus doesn't like lukewarm either. And it says, he's talking to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:16. He says, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out. New King James Version says, I will vomit you out. See, I believe Jesus is a passionate, God is a passionate God. And he's passionate and he expects passion from us. And he says, lukewarm, I don't want to have anything to do with lukewarm. I want you hot. Some Christians are not hot, they're just there. How many Christians live a life like that? How many times do we kind of drift into a place like that, that we're just kind of there, you know? We're not really advancing the kingdom, or we're not really kind of saving the lost, or really like witnessing to anybody, or doing any damage to the enemy. We're just kind of, we're there, you know, day after day, just kind of drifting a little bit. I was thinking about this. Don't just show up. Be a threat. Don't just show up. Be a threat. You know, some Christians, they're not a threat. They're not a threat to the enemy. They're just there. They're not ready for the battle. They're just hanging out. If you could imagine a soldier that they show up for battle, but they got half their gear on, half their gear still at the barracks, and they got some of their weapons, but the weapons they got, some they don't know how to use, and just kind of fumbling around. And so they're there for roll call, but they're more of a liability than an asset in battle. Some Christians live like this. They have a Bible. Sometimes they walk with it under their arm or put it on their shelf, kind of collecting dust. But they don't really know how to use it properly. They can pray, but they don't necessarily pray consistently or effectively. They're not using all their weapons. I tell you, you know, it's that type of person. You know, they're nice, but that's not the first person you're going to call when you're in the middle of the battle, right? It's not the person on my call list, like, hey, man, I need somebody to agree with me right now. But that's oftentimes what happens. When I'm fighting a battle, I want somebody next to me that knows how to fight. When I go through something in life, I want to be surrounded by people that have a heart after God and know how to stand in their position. I think many Christians forget we're in a battle. You know, sometimes we have moments and circumstances that kind of wake us up and jar us, and they're like, whoa, this is a battle. But some Christians forget that it's a battle, and so that's why they get casual. That's why they're missing an action when the action is happening. And they've forgotten that someone's life depends upon their obedience. Can you think about that for a moment? Can you dwell on that? That somebody's eternal destiny dwells on your obedience. So while we at times get casual, somebody's life is hanging in the balance. Our future depends on the passion of our today. Our future and other people's future depends on our passion today. Passion moves the heart of God. Will you stand with me today? Passion moves the heart of God. I've heard it often said that when Jesus walked upon the earth, that every miracle that he did started with compassion. But can I tell you, you can't even have compassion without passion. Compassion. You need passion. Passion moves the heart of God. Will you bow your head with me today? Put your hands on your heart. Father, I thank you, God, for stirring us up today. God, maybe we're at a place that we're full of passion, but maybe we're at a place today, just maybe, that there's some areas, God, that you need to stir us back up. You need to refocus us. You need to stir that passion back up in our lives, God. That first love that we found for you. God, I thank you, Lord, that we wouldn't live lives that are casual. We wouldn't be complacent. We wouldn't be business as usual when it comes onto this relationship that we have with you. God, let us rediscover what it is to have a passion. And God, in the prayer of David, Lord, give us an undivided heart so that we might fear you, that we might focus on you, that we might follow after you, that we might obey you. God, I thank you for touching our hearts today, God. Touching our hearts. God, we put our hearts on the altar today and say, we need you to touch us. We need you. For what we have to do in this city, for what we have to do in this lifetime, God, we need your touch. We need to have a passion for you. We need to have a relationship that's strong, that we can walk. We can walk through the doors that we need to open. Your word says you're opening doors that no man can shut. You're shutting doors that no man can open. So God, we want to get synced up with you today. You're a passionate God. Help us be a passionate people.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.